A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell. First things first, right off the bat, this is one of my favorite things I get to do at the start of the show, Scott.
Whoa.
On a game night, to switch it from politics over to the Jazz game on TV.
Oh, I mean, it's that ceremonial-like changing beautiful. Of the guard.
There it is. There's ours. It's less.
You get
of
to stand
a,
there with that big fuzzy hat, like
right?
You're
it's
Buckingham
less of a,
Palace.
It's less of like a speech and more just like a bunch of cuss words before before I turn the station. So yeah, here we are. It's another night. Every game, a new start for the Utah Jazz. They tip in just a couple minutes here against the Spurs for the second time this week here at home. Of course, winning by 11 the other night here at home and really having control the entire game against the Spurs. I'm interested to see what the Phoenix Suns are going to do, of course, tonight with their game against the Atlanta Hawks. And so we'll keep our eyes on that. But we've got other things we want to talk about here right off the top of the show. We're going to discuss the toughest coaches on the schedules and, frankly, refresh you with some of the schedules that are going on with BYU and Utah this next year. Now that you are out of spring football, we are looking forward to these actual schedules. You may have forgotten totally because your brain just got scrambled from the last year's scheduling and non-scheduling in college football. So let's start right there. It is our 705 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, right off the bat, one of the things you and I started talking about today is you went, did you see? Scott, you did this. You go, have you seen BYU schedule next year? And the answer for the last 3 or 4 years and kind of going forward is, oh, yeah, it's going to be tough going forward. And it's going to be really tough next year as well as you start to look at some of the people that BYU is facing. And without Zach Wilson and without some of these five draft picks that left this year and seven others that got signed to free agency deals going to the NFL, this is going to be a depleted team. I don't want people to think that this is going to be the number 11 team in the country who went 11-2.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start. I really don't even know what to say, Alex. I'm just kidding.
You did during show prep. You had a lot to say.
I'm just
about
kidding.
It.
Look, it baffles my mind, and it almost to me feels like it's a makeup or a way for BYU to actually say, okay, we're kind of embarrassed that we're an independent. Like, it wasn't our first choice or maybe our second or our third. So to kind of make up for that, we're going to make our schedule as brutal as we possibly can. I don't know that Power 5 conference teams have as brutal a schedule as BYU has. And, yeah, they'll have that one game a year. Or, you know, like you look at Utah, and their game is against USC, maybe Oregon. But not every other game, you know, is like that. And I mean, and BYU just has a tough, tough schedule. And it ends, you know, with USC at the end of November,
right,
at USC.
In
so
the
this
Coliseum,
is
yeah.
Yeah, this is tough. And what makes it tough is you feel like BYU has really turned a corner. Like last season, You just felt like recruiting went up. The feel of the program. I think the belief in Kalani Sitake and his way of doing things, and it just feels like the program was in a solid place. But this schedule is gonna
Go through, because this is actually, if you haven't read this article yet, go over to KSLSports.com and do yourself a favor. And this is the stuff that Mitch Harper is going to be writing for you during the offseason, and frankly during all year long, that gets you kind of into it. The list is actually the toughest coaches, the head coaches that they're going to be facing, and it doesn't necessarily reflect if it's going to be a win or a loss. But it's these coaches that are coming in here, because I think you're also going to see, and I'll skip kind of some of the coaches and some of the programs you wouldn't know, but you know, Jed Fish at Arizona, he's got quite a lot in front of him after the firing of.
But how do you rank a coach like that?
It's tough because you don't know.
He's brand new.
But that's why he's pretty far down. Same thing with Boise State. They got a new coach in the offseason, Andy Avalos. And so you think about Nick Rolovich has been there a couple years now at Washington State. Blake Anderson, brand new at Utah State. Mitch has him at number 6 on the list because he ran such a good program in Arkansas State. But the reality is you don't know anything about these guys. Dave Aranda at Baylor, this is a guy who is known for his ridiculous defenses, right? And it was running the defenses for LSU most recently, and he took that head coaching gig for Baylor. Clay Helton is still on that list. He's number 4, according to Mitch, for the hardest head coach to be able to face.
I don't know. It's 4.
Herm Edwards at number 3 on Mitch's list, and I think that's probably right. Bronco Mendenhall is number 2 on the list. Now, this is an intriguing – this is going to be beyond insane. There's a reason that Bronco tried to get out of playing this game, Scott. He didn't want to play this game. And and I think that at some point, you know, boosters and his athletic director there at Virginia said – this is not a fight. We're not doing this. We're not going to turn. You're not going to. You don't have the power to be able to say this is an opponent we're not facing. This is a contract we signed. We're doing it. We know that you have a connection to this program. Grow up. Like you're getting paid $3.5 million a year. You need to figure this out. And so they're coming in next year. And Bronco Mendenhall is going to bring the heat. This is a guy who, he loves BYU. He loved his time here. But you know what? He also loves to prove people wrong. He likes to come in and kind of be the calculated thinker that he pretends to be and that he really is. But in the end, Broncos had a decent run at Virginia. And that's a good program now because of what he's been kind of installing over the last few years. It's a team that was in a New Year's Six game last season. And so Broncos going to be really, really tough. The reality is that he doesn't want to play this game. This is the reason people tune into games, is to watch these kinds of matchups when people have to face their former team.
Yeah, the Bronco needs to realize the game is what's important. It's not the coach. It's not how he feels. It's none of that. And that's good. I'm glad they kept that game. I think BYU's probably easiest game and easiest coach is Idaho State, right? And
right off the top. Yeah, right off the top.
But that game's not till November 6th.
Sure. So they have to get through 8 other games before they even get to that.
Well, their first 3 games are against Power 5 opponents.
Yeah,
and
it's
you have
a tough
Utah
schedule
and Arizona State that are going to compete for a championship in the Pac-12, you know, their second and third game of the season. But then it's having to travel. You know, they got to go to Waco. They got to go to Pullman. They got to go to Statesboro, and I understand the coaches, right? But
they got to go to Statesboro, Georgia.
They still have to drive. They still have to get to these places.
Yes.
And that's not. It's not going to be like we were trying to figure out where Georgia Southern was, and it's actually more in Eastern.
Yeah.
You know.
No, we definitely. You know what? We spent an inordinate amount of time looking at where Statesboro was on the map compared to where it is to, you know, as compared to Augusta and things like that. So BYU's got these guys. By the way, did I mention number 1 on the list is, of course, Kyle Whittingham. And and it's beyond, I mean, that's well, so yeah, far I mean, distant number 1, by the way, too. It's a big deal.
You know, it's 9 wins in a row. And I'm not trying to, Utah has BYU's number right now. And you want to have this rivalry. And the way to really stir it up and get it going is to win a few of these games and,
let me
hurt the other team. I mean, that's what makes it great.
Let me hop over to Utah real quick, and without getting too far deep into kind of the highlights of this, you can read both of these, because Trevor Allen put it together for the Ute side, Mitch Allen put it together for the BYU, or Mitch Harper put it together for the BYU side on KSLSports.com. So I'll start off. I mean, they've got Colorado and Carl Durrell at 7, and then Kalani Sitake at 6. And then I felt like this was an affront. If I'm Kalani Sitake, I'm offended by this. Chip Kelly is in front of Kalani Sitake, Scott. I think that's wrong. I think that's off. Chip Kelly has not been anything. I don't think he's done anything good at all at UCLA since he's been there.
Well, he hasn't, and I don't know that he's done anything good.
He's 10-21 there at UCLA.
I don't think he's done anything good since he was back at Oregon, and probably inherited all the good players he had. I'm not a big fan of his. Folks feel like, you know, UCLA maybe turned it around a little bit, but it just seems like they always have a lot of freshmen that, you know, next year, man, they're going to be really good players, and they're just constantly playing these young underclassmen, and you're kind of waiting and waiting for this thing to kind of happen and gel together, and it just never seems to get that way.
Let's take the break. I'll throw out the last top four there for Utah in terms of the toughest coaches according to the KSLSports.com list. We'll come back. I'll give you a score update as well in that Jazz game against the Spurs here across the street. Stay with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.